Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another Monday episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is August 18th, 2025. How are we doing today, Nico?
Doing well today, sir. Doing very well. It was a great productive weekend. Hopefully dragged a lot of people out of their GPT-5 hell that they find themselves in.
Self-inflicted.
Definitely self-inflicted for just about everybody that I know. Good. It's looking like a good week already. Already some really big news that actually happened a little bit ago, but you know, some of this stuff, again, there's so much going on that it's hard to keep a finger on every little thing. This one just jumped out at me. As much as I wanted to start with a different topic a while back, like, and this was, you know, I don't know, maybe a year ago, longer, I met a friend of mine, Sanjay Raksheet, and he now works for Papulo. We were talking about LLMs. He builds LLMs, and he works on different use cases and stuff. And when we first started talking, he was like, yeah, you know, everybody's really enthralled with what's going on with, large language models. But, you know, sooner than later, you'll see, like, small language models is going to be where it's at. And I was like, I mean, like, it kind of makes sense. He's like, no, you don't get it. Like, they're better. Even though they're more narrow, they're like way more on target, like no hallucinations, like nothing. They're super powerful. I was like, I guess, but like everybody's using, you know, LLMs. I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. So a little bit of time goes by and all of a sudden I see this, it was at Davos, like week before Davos. There was a panel talking about future of AI and future of AI technology. And it was based on a conference that was actually based on like the various training techniques like RLHF and what people had started doing at that point. And there, and in between this, there had been this sort of breakthrough with self-reasoning. And so there was this QSTAR, right, that kind of came out in between that was a method of like having the model do self-reasoning, which is what we're playing around with today. Right. In between then and now, there was this story that I didn't pay attention to because it came from a corner of the techverse that I don't have very much respect for anymore. And I gotta say, I am humbled and it's very odd, so very painful to say that Apple was right about this one. So painful.
What exactly were they right about?
There was a story came out maybe a month or so ago where Apple was talking about the fact that reasoning models don't really reason and they aren't really thinking. And it's kind of like this superficial thing that is, you know, just making us feel like that's what's happening. But it's really still just chain of thought methodology. And they weren't wrong. But the reasoning did feel like thinking. So I kind of just chucked it by the wayside because it was like, well, you guys don't have shit anyway. So you're just making fun of what everybody else. Like you're just mad that you don't have a toy of your own. Right. So, so that's why. And I shouldn't have dismissed it. I should have looked further into it. I wouldn't have found what I came across today, but I might have found some hint of research leading to it. Maybe. At any rate, so welcome to today. We have what's known as now an HRM model, which is a high reasoning model. And it's really odd to say that like that's what's so different from that than what we already have. Well, the difference that I could tell just by a short amount of time of looking into it, This HRM model basically does actually think. I know it sounds really weird by comparison to what we have now because we have, you know, whatever, we have I'm sorry, it's not high reasoning model, it's hierarchical reasoning model. That's it. Sounds almost the same. Anyway, what it does is, again, chain of thought is just what it sounds like. It's start here, then I'm going to go here, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do that, and hopefully we end up at here. Hierarchical reasoning is more like orchestrated. It's basically, you talk to the contractor, and the contractor then goes and hires out the subcontractors to make sure that the job gets done properly. But it hires the subcontractors for those specific things in order to increase the level of accuracy, but also to have this orchestrator above it all that ensures that what was done by the contractors is what was also requested by the user. So it's basically like, if you've worked with Windsurf or Cursor lately, and this is very much the same thing, where essentially, like, now when you give GPT something to solve, and this is actually, I think this is the best way to understand the difference, and you can almost see it for yourself. I just thought of it now, otherwise I'd pull it up. When you look at like what GPT and Gemini and Claude are doing when they answer, you pull open that thinking aspect of things, you can see that they are reasoning. They are thinking through your problem and how to best solve it. But they're not talking about what best resources specifically to use for your stuff. They go and search through a swath of things, and then they filter through that swath, right? When you look at Windsurf and Cursor, and you're using Copilot to work with your coding, what will typically happen is they'll take a look at the request that you gave them, same way that the other models do, but then they turn around and immediately build a plan. And that plan sits outside of the work that they do otherwise. And so they'll go and start working on your code base, but then they'll come back to the plan and check on the plan to see, like, hey, did we complete this step? Okay, we completed it. It'll actually update the plan step by step as it's going along, too. So there's a much, much, like, so that's why when I say, like, when it comes to, like, coding stuff, I honestly, I'll sit in the IDE, like, a little bit longer than I will sit in the generative model itself for that reason. And so this hierarchical reasoning model does very much the same thing. It's able to like orchestrate the answer as opposed to just going step by step through it. And why it's so much better is because like when it comes to chain of thought, right? If you're thinking through trying to solve a problem, think about this is the easiest way to do it. You're trying to solve a math problem and all of a sudden somebody jumps in the middle and says 357. Chain of thought's broken. Now all of a sudden, I lost my place, right? That's what happens to GPT, Gemini, Claude, all of them. So it happens to all of them. Doesn't matter how high level the model is. If you throw a wrench in there, it's over, right? That's why they do the needle in the haystack test. The needle in the haystack test is meant to try to prove that, like, yeah, but that can't happen and it won't break the chain of thought. But that doesn't, you guys know that's not always the case. It can break down pretty easily, right? We showed that yesterday. There was like a breakdown mid us working on something live. So what the hierarchical model does, though, it works around that. It doesn't matter if the chain of thought is broken. The only thing that matters is whether or not the actual correct answer was arrived at. That's it. So how much more like powerful is this as a method? The HRM model beat Claude Opus 4 on the ARC-4 test. Now, ARC test is meant for testing how close the model is or how powerful a level of artificial general intelligence the model is. We're on ARC-4. ARC-1 came out at the beginning of the year. These ARC tests are designed by Francois Chalet, who basically sets the bar for what is like AGI from a computational standpoint. And he's on the fourth version of the test. Right? Like we're reaching a level that's crazy, just super crazy. Anyway, Opus was leading the pack, not like you know, not to really like that, not too surprisingly. And then HRM beat it. Okay, well, who cares? Like, what's the big deal? First of all, HRM, not an American model. I believe it's from Singapore. And secondly, so from Singapore, right? Like, not a massive country, not a whole lot of power, not a whole lot of infrastructure for that kind of thing. Man, how could you build a large language model over there? Oh, shoot. Turns out it was only 27 million parameters. 27 million. What's the size of the parameters you guys use now? About a trillion. Roughly every model is based on about a trillion parameters of training, pre-training. HRM, 27 million. The factor is insane, right? And it wasn't even pre-trained on the 27 mil. That's what's crazy. Like, the craziest part about this model is that it is tearing the ass out of hundreds of billions of dollars of models. And I'm assuming, according to Neil Ashenbrenner, who said this last year, I'm assuming that this model probably got put together for less than, I don't know, man, it couldn't have been more than $1 billion. Couldn't have been. Like, it had to be a couple hundred mil out the door. Like, and I mean front to back, right? All the bullshit claims before about like DeepSeek and, oh my God, it only cost 400 million to train DeepSeek or something, or whatever, 7 million or something to train DeepSeek. That was one aspect of the training run. Out of the whole thing, they still bought all the H100s. It was still billions and billions, like $2 billion model or something like that at the end of the day. I have to go look up the numbers, but I'm guaranteeing you this is not anywhere close to that. It's got to be less than 500 million to build this thing. Way less than that, right? And if this thing is as powerful, like, so far, no one's refuting it. It's all, like, oddly enough, yeah, as soon as I started looking it up, it's like, oh shit, like, oh shoot, this Singapore model is destroying stuff. Like, there's a brand new DeepSeek moment. And to be honest with you, DeepSeek and the distillation that was pretty big. Not even close to this. This is like magnanimous by comparison.
I'd love to share this clip from the video that you shared with me.
Which does an amazing breakdown. If you catch the YouTube clip that I posted, watch it. It's pretty short, and it definitely explains everything. Oh yeah, this is the even better one. Prompting.
Basically, it is like the artificial intelligence is talking itself through a math problem, step by step. Sounds clever, and sometimes it works, but the thing is, if the artificial intelligence makes just one mistake in that chain, the whole answer can fall apart.
If you stepped away for a week and everything stopped working, that's not a business.
Good old YouTube.
That's a house of cards.
HRM skips that completely. It does not rely on hoping the chain holds. It reasons more like a human by thinking strategically and then executing rapidly. So how does it do that? Well, HRM has two parts that talk to each other. There is a high-level planner and a low-level
gateway
worker.
Into the next.
The planner is like the slow, strategic brain. It maps out the big picture, tries to figure out what kind of problem it is facing. The worker is the fast processor. It takes orders and does the actual work quickly and efficiently. Think of it like a chess master planning a strategy and an assistant executing the moves instantly. These two parts loop through each other. The high-level module makes a plan. The low-level module carries it out and sends back results. And then the high-level updates based on what happened. This back and forth continues until the model settles on the answer. This is not just a gimmick. It is built into the architecture, and it gives the model something that most others do not have, a way to internally check and refine its own reasoning mid-process. And the results are pretty insane. The ARC AGI benchmark, basically an intelligence quotient test for artificial intelligence. HRM scored 40.3%. That is above Claude 3.7's 21.2% and OpenAI's O3 mini high model, which got 34.5.
And I think
these are not small differences.
Three or four points ahead of Opus.
Running on one graphics processing unit, beating out some of the biggest names in the game when it comes to raw reasoning. Let us take it a step further.
The Sudoku test. The Sudoku test. It is the only model in existence to actually beat the Sudoku test. No other models have beat it. No other models have beat the Sudoku test, which is, I got to tell you, the puzzle that they use is, it's difficult. It's very difficult for like the best human Sudoku players. No model has beat it except for this one. And not only did it beat it five times, right? Like,
yeah,
it's insane. I can't wait to see what the score is on Humanity's Last Exam. I'm willing to bet we're up to 40% with Grok 4. I'm willing to bet that this thing touches 70%. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. I think it could probably hit 70%. And that to me is insane. They're talking about like, this is the road to ASI. What if you, yeah. I mean, like, just put the compute behind this that you have behind, like, I mean.
Right. This is the part where I think the important perspective, my main takeaway here is that, like, he opened this video with not more money and not more infrastructure, not more data, like, none of that is in play here. Simply innovation for how it works, right? Without even having to come up with a crazy new way for it to work, just system one and system two from our brains, right?
Yep.
Like the way humans work. And I think the takeaway is we already say it's never going to be worse than it is right now. So it's not going to slow down. It can only and is likely to speed up because we now get to use AI to innovate within the constraints that we have. And this is where the real breakthroughs to where we've been driving on like country roads and we just figured out how to like create like interstate highways, like to help everybody move faster. Like this is a step change, right? Without the additional, in spite of the infrastructure and the money and the investment and the training data, right?
Two things. One which I knew already, but was kind of sitting on. The other one I just looked up. I told you guys I was gonna look it up, and I thought it was gonna take a while, but it didn't. Okay. So first, where did this come from? Human breakthrough? No. This breakthrough was designed by an AI model. Go figure that the most insane cut in efficiency has just been made. Try to take this in, honestly, because currently the models that we're running now are so stupidly inefficient that we are we're planning power plants that are ridiculous. Right. We're straining the U.S. grid like no tomorrow. Okay. If we were to just swap over to using this method, all of that goes away. All of it goes away. Like the amount of like cooling that's needed for this stuff, all of it. And I just looked at it and direct cost comparison between building a custom designed HRM model and using an off-the-shelf model such as Claude Opus 4, okay? It's difficult to estimate due to variation, but an HRM model can range between $10,000 to $10 million. Training, large scale, can cost between $4 million and tops out at 200 million.
Yeah.
For a model that beat Opus 4, tops out at 200 million for training. So, like, even highest end model costs you 210 out the box. Right now, we're training models that are costing like $4 or $5 billion, right? To actually do full training run on probably GPT-5 was probably close. I don't know, close to that. I'm looking it up right now. I really like.
Yeah. The ability of AI to just Doctor Strange everything, like on our behalf.
where does it go from here?
Right. It should not be that hard to imagine how this may have transpired, where human shows up. Man, AI, like, it seems like it's reasoning, but this whole chain link step, it's just not working. And then AI, and then we relate it to how we think. And it's like, well, humans can do this, this, and this. And then AI is like, well, why don't we just try to do that with AI? And humans like, well, it's hard. And then AI is like, don't worry, I got it. Like, just hang out. Let me come back to you in a few seconds. here's the system one, system two plan. Mm-hmm. And then humans like, okay. Yeah, let's see. And then it happens. And then they test the hell out of it. And AI tests the hell. Like, that's the AI being a part of the innovation part. Like, that's the part we've never experienced before. And we should all expect that our inefficient systems and whatever we've invented is unlikely to be as efficient and effective as AI, like taking it to the next level.
Yep.
Like, so it's literally, I'm excited about, but like, this is where like the capitalist, like capitalism, like all this money's already been divvied out and already been like, already been divvied out.
Right. And
people are expecting. So like, can a company like OpenAI like shift gears in this way?
That's enough.
They need to. This is where, like, I think if it's clearly, and the concern is like, have we not seen this yet? Like,
well,
this is 2 weeks old, right?
It's 2 weeks old. And that's what I posted about this morning. Like, DeepSeek happened and then Wall Street like shit the bed. If this hits, this is a legitimate cost reduction. The cost to train this model that beat Opus 4 was only 100, which I'm sure, right? They're saying that the actual estimate to train GPT-4, not 4.0, GPT-4, was $100,000. The estimate for GPT-5 is somewhere between 1.25 and 2.5 billion. I don't know what it cost to train Opus. I'm assuming that it was somewhere in the same ballpark, right? So we're talking about, again, like a 10x reduction in cost with even more performance output, like higher performance output at 10x. And this is an actual 10x cut. This isn't, again, like, it's not just a BS, like DeepSeek was a BS cut. That wasn't actually, it was nothing. It was like 10x on that training bit. And that wasn't even that big a deal, right? Even Dario was like, that was only half the cost of what it cost us to do the same thing. So it's not even like, he was so unimpressed by the DeepSeek news that I was just like, all right, if this guy doesn't care, it must not be a big deal.
Right.
So
now we're waiting to hear. Like,
what's the cost? What's the inference cost?
Right. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, the inference cost on this can't be more than, it couldn't be more than a quarter per million tokens. Maybe, like, man, like the rush of abundance in AI. Like, you guys realize that Elon released Grok 4 free now, right? Like, just to put that in perspective, Elon had to release Grok 4 as free to compete with everyone else. It's free. That's what he had to do to compete. He didn't raise the price. He didn't make a sale on Grok 4 on signups. He just made it free. It's just going to keep happening because the costs are just going to keep coming down. If you've seen the cost comparisons, which I showed to our AI group online, if you look at the cost comparison between GPT-5 and GPT-4.0, it's insane. It's almost half the cost to the end user. While they have to invest more, this is like the number one paradox that people have talked about for decades but have never actually experienced, where it's costing the company more to facilitate the end user than the end user will ever end up having to pay. So the only way that the company recoups is by being as horizontal as possible and having the highest amount of value. That's it. Right. So like in the end, that's why he's able to offer it to the government for a buck. Right. And then Dario turned around and did the same thing, only he's including like the Justice Department and stuff like that. I want to see more. I want to know more about this. I want to know more about the, like, what did they train it on? What hardware did they train it on? Did they even use Blackwell's? Right. Because now they've got Huawei designing chips. Like once Huawei catches up and then they use this like HRM method with like Huawei based chips, then I start to question like why they even care about Taiwan. And I think that becomes a geopolitical thing of trying to control the US progression, right? Meanwhile, the US is, we are so desperate. Like if you guys are actually watching what's going on in the Cold War, we are so desperate, which it is a cold war for AI. We've been in it for 2 years now. Wake up. We're so desperate. The government is actually looking to back Intel. Because Intel is like, it's the first time I think that I've experienced such a massive infrastructure company. Because that's what semiconductors are. That's what chips are. They're infrastructure for stuff. They're infrastructure for your car, your TV, your phone. Like they're everywhere. This is the first time that we might actually lose wholesale an infrastructure company. Intel had to stop building here in Ohio. Like they just don't have the money. And if people just don't want to buy Intel chips and if they're just making inferior technology, like as a company, you kind of have to fold because you basically, I don't know what the hell happened, but they pulled an Apple way too fast and all of a sudden they're dead, right? Dead in the water. But the fab plants are still there. So yeah. I don't know, but man, this is, I really wanted to talk about the video thing. We'll talk about it tomorrow for sure. At great length. But this was just, this was too much. Blows my mind away, entirely. Honestly, this is seriously, seriously, seriously huge news to like the world of AI, just all together. This model is going to change everything. And if it was smart enough, I don't know which model. That's the real question I have, is which model designed this thing?
Right.
Right. Yeah. And then if this thing gets chained together with another version of itself, then what happens? What's the cut then? We're on the road of AI designing better AI, and it's only going to happen faster now. There will be a new HRM model before the end of, like, mark my words, before the end of the year, we'll have a new HRM model that'll dwarf the current one. It'll make the current one look dumb, which is going to be insane. I'll just add this to the Oracle. Hands down, there's no way. By spring next year, we have artificial superintelligence. It just stands to reason now.
Time to put another node into the Oracle. Until tomorrow, folks. We'll see you. Have a great Monday. Thanks.
See you then.